Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'm going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, text number 55. I don't think Mukundadat read 51 or 52 or 53. So I'm just going to read the translations for the other verses. While wandering in the forest, the hunter saw a pair of Kalinga birds. Of the two, the female was captivated by the hunter's lore. O queen of Suyogya, the male Kalinga bird, seeing his wife put into the greatest danger in the grip of providence, became very unhappy. Because of affection, the poor bird, being unable to release her, began to lament for his wife. Alas, how merciless is providence. My wife, unable to be helped by anyone, is in such an awkward position and lamenting for me. What will providence gain by taking away this poor bird? What will be the profit? If unkind providence takes away my wife, who's half my body, why should he not take me also? What is the use of my living without half my body, bereft by loss of my wife? What shall I gain in this way? Text 55. Maybe we'll find out. Katam tu ajatapakshan tan katam tva jatapaksham tan Matrihinan vibharyaham Manda bhagya pratikshante Nideme mataram praja Katam tva jata paksham stan Matrihinan vibharyaham Mandabhagya pratikshante Nideme mataram praja Katam how to but Ajata pakshan who have not grown wings to fly Tan them, Matrihinan, bereft of their mother, Vibharami, shall maintain. Aham, I, Mandabhagya, very unfortunate, Pratikshante, they await, Nide, in the nest, May, my mataram, their mother, praja, baby birds. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The unfortunate baby birds, bereft of their mother, are waiting in the nest for her to feed them. They are still very small and have not yet grown their wings. How shall I be able to maintain them? Purport. The bird is lamenting for the mother of his children, because the mother naturally maintains and cares for the children. Yamaraj, however, in the guise of a small bird, has already explained that although his mother left him uncared for and wandering the forest, the tigers and other ferocious animals had not eaten him. The real fact is that if the Supreme Personality of Godhead protects one, even though one may be motherless and fatherless, one can be maintained by the goodwill of the Lord. Otherwise, if the Supreme Lord does not give one protection, one must suffer in spite of the presence of his father and mother. Another example is that sometimes a patient dies in spite of a good physician and good medicine. Thus, without the protection of the Lord, one cannot live with or without parents. Another point in this verse is that the fathers and mothers have protective feelings for their children, even in bird and beast society. Not to speak of human society. Kali Yuga, however, is so degraded that a father and mother even kill their children in the womb on the plea of their scientific knowledge that within the womb, the child has no life. Prestigious medical practitioners give this opinion, and therefore the father and mother of this day kill their children within the womb. How degraded human society has become. Their scientific knowledge is so advanced that they think that within the egg and the embryo, there is no life. Now these so-called scientists are receiving Nobel Prizes for advancing the theory of chemical evolution. But if chemical combinations are the source of life, why don't the scientists manufacture something like an egg through chemistry and put it in an incubator so that a chicken will come out? What is their answer? With their scientific knowledge, they are unable to create even an egg. So scientists are described in Bhagavad Gita as Maya Pritigana, fools whose real knowledge has been taken away. They're not men of knowledge, but they pose as scientists and philosophers, although their so-called theoretical knowledge cannot produce practical results. So the text again. Katam twajata paksham stan matri hinan vivaramyaham mandabhagya patikshante nideme mataram praja. The unfortunate baby birds bereft of their mother are waiting in the nest for her to feed them. They are still very small and have not yet grown their wings. How shall I be able to maintain them? Mom Vishnu Viraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyade Satarne. Sri Prabhupada has repeated this theme many times, coming from Prahlad Maharaj. Balasyaneha Sharanam Pitaro Nrsingha Nartasya Chagadam Udanvato Majitalno Nartasya Tat Prividi Ihanja Shestas Twadvido Tanubritam Twat Upekshatanam. So Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasya. Balasya means of the child. Neha, Pitarao. Pitarao means both parents. Nrsingha, Sharanam, Nrsingha. So the child naturally has to be under the protection of the parents in order to survive. And Nartasya, one who's diseased, he needs medicine or a good doctor. Nartasya, taptasya tat trivide, Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nrsingha nartasya chagadam. So agadam means medicine. So everyone who's sick needs a good doctor or medicine. Udanvito majital now, and in the water one needs a good boat in order to cross the ocean. As I mentioned before, on the maiden voyage of the Titanic, there was, of course, there's even some controversy what exactly was the boat. But in any case, say it was the Titanic, it was trying to cross the ocean, and somehow or another, it hit against an iceberg and sank. Although it was supposed to be unsinkable. And in the boiler room, there was one man working. And when the Titanic hit the iceberg, the boiler exploded, and the oil went all over his body. Fortunate for him, because he was thrown into the ocean, and the ocean was practically ice temperature, and one could only last 4 or 5 minutes before one would die from the freezing water. But fortunately for him, he was able to, being covered by the coating of oil, he survived the freezing water and was saved. He wound up in New York, celebrating his savior being saved by the coat of oil, became intoxicated, and was walking on the streets of New York right after a little rainfall, and there was 1/4 inch of water between the sidewalk and the street, and he fell into that 1/4 inch of water and drowned. So this is not unusual, such occurrences. There was one lady who was in the bar in Bali when the terrorists planted some bombs in that bar and killed dozens and dozens of tourists from Australia, but she had left just a couple of minutes before the bombs had gone off, and she survived. She went back to Australia celebrating with her friends her survival. She was camping in the northern part of Australia near the Great Barrier Reef, and she went swimming that night. Unfortunately, she didn't see the sign next to the place where she went swimming, "Beware of the crocodiles," and she was eaten. She survived the bomb only to become food for the crocodile. This is the history of material existence. That Prabhupada said, if Krishna wants, one will be protected. And if Krishna decides you're not supposed to be protected, then you won't be protected. And of course, even if Krishna decides you're going to be protected, the child will grow up and become an adult. The patient will be cured. The boat will cross the ocean. Still, janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshana. Ultimately, no one survives. Ultimately, old age, disease, and death will be presented to everyone, and for most people, there is another birth. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna asks him, akyaki me ko bhavan ugra rupo namostu te deva vara prasida vigyatami chami bhavantam adyam ihi prajanami tava pravriti. Pravriti means, what is your purpose? Arjuna was noticing that his friend Krishna was a nice, kind gentleman, had agreed to become his chariot driver. He had a relationship of friendship, and then all of a sudden he turned into a personality that Arjuna had never witnessed before. At first he thought Krishna was a vegetarian, and then he saw Krishna eating, grinding soldiers between his teeth. And he thought, wow. And so he asked Krishna, what is your purpose? Why are you eating all these soldiers? Why are you destroying everything? Just like nowadays, people are concerned about terrorists. But Krishna reveals that he's the number one terrorist. People are afraid they're going to die, they're going to be killed by terrorists, but the imperceivable terrorist is killing everyone. Kalosmi lokashe krit prarido lokansa mahartami ha praritak vitepi tvam nava vishanti sarve yevastita pratnyukeshi yoda. Time I am the destroyer of all the worlds, and I've come here to kill everyone except you, the Pandavas. Everyone here is going to be slain. Therefore, time is taking everyone's existence away imperceivably, and there is nothing as sure as death. Although we may be seemingly protected by medicine, by our parents, just like they say, they've done investigations and pilots, their planes are just about to crash. What is the last words that they said? They have these black boxes and these airplanes, and right before the plane would crash, the pilots would scream out the last word. And what was the last words? Mommy! But mommy is not there to protect them. Everyone wants shelter in the material world, because the nature of the material world is quite precarious. It is only a question of who we choose as a shelter. And that's what it's all about. That's what the whole discussion in the material world is. When the birds talk to each other in the morning, and one bird goes beep beep, and the other bird goes beep beep beep. Does anyone know what the meaning is? Bird language is rather simple.
Where's the worm?
Yes, that's right. Say he knows. He speaks so many languages. Beep beep means where's the worm? And beep 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 means it's over there. So the birds are worrying about how will we survive? That is the question. Pariksha Maharaj, he asks, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? If you go up to a college and you ask the learned profession, professor, my dear learned professor, I have one question for you. You have so many PhD degrees. Please tell me, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? Everyone in the classroom will duck underneath their desk, and immediately they'll call 9/11, thinking that here's a terrorist, he's about to explode a bomb, asking us what's going to happen to us now that we're going to die. You're all going to die. People will not very much appreciate if you ask them that question. They'll think you're a fanatic, that you're a danger. Why are you asking such questions? But Pariksha Maharaj said, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? And Shukadeva Goswami said, Varyan esha te prashna krito lokahita ripaha atmavat samatampum sam shroti vyadishu yakparha. That this question is actually glorious. Now those who think they're protected, they have a bank balance, they have a nice family, as I'll explain in the next verse, as explained in the next verses. They're not thinking like that, because they think, I have my protectors, I'm not going to die. Or as Prabhupada mentioned, when they were having a morning walk in front of White Rock Lake Park in Dallas, Texas, which I've been to often. Every time Srila Prabhupada was in Dallas, I was also there. So Prabhupada was walking out White Rock Lake Park, and in the distance, There is the house of Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes used to live there, and maybe he's still living there in a subtler form. But at one time, he was the wealthiest person in the whole world. And the devotees went to this house, and they asked, they wanted to give a Bhagavad Gita to Howard Hughes, but the guards stopped them and offered to give the Bhagavad Gita to the guards, but said that the devotees couldn't go and meet Howard Hughes. So Prabhupada asked the devotees, what would you have told Howard Hughes if you got the opportunity to talk to him? So the devotees said, we would have said to Howard Hughes, my dear sir, we're all nice citizens, we're helping so many people, please give us a donation. Another said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And Prabhupada said, no, if I would have seen Howard Hughes, I would have told him, my dear sir, you've made so much money from oil, but actually all that oil belongs to Krishna. So therefore you've stolen this money, this oil from Krishna. And one day the agents of Krishna will come and drag you away and punish you. So give back your stolen goods to Krishna. And there is a saying, something about chira and chira. Someone is stealing a cucumber and someone is stealing a diamond. But they're both thieves. And they'll both be punished. Just like in the sequel to that, Prabhupada was walking in Dallas, Texas, Prabhupada was walking in Mayapur on the roof. And this is the long building, which is still there now. And sometimes Prabhupada would have his morning walk along that building, out on the roof of the building. And while he was walking, so many life members were there, so many devotees. And one devotee introduced one life member to Srila Prabhupada and said, this is Mr. Patel. He is a big industrialist. We'd like to introduce you to him. And Prabhupada said, oh, very nice, Mr. Patel. So nice to meet you. Mr. Patel was dressed in immaculate khadi, white khadi, with his Nehru hat, very proud, upright. And Prabhupada said, so nice to meet you. What kind of industry do you have? Mr. Patel proudly said, I make glass. Prabhupada said, oh, you make glass, how nice. And where does glass come from? And Mr. Patel said, oh, glass, it comes from sand. Oh, from sand, Srila Prabhupada said. And where does the sand come from? So Mr. Patel, being a little pious, he said, it comes from Bhagavan. So Prabhupada's eyebrows raised up and said, oh, so you're stealing from Bhagavan. Mr. Patel was embarrassed, went to the back of the line where the devotees and the life members were walking. But at the end of the walk, he came up very enthusiastic and said, Swamiji, Swamiji, I just want to tell you that I give in charity. Oh, said Prabhupada, with his eyebrows again raised, so, you're a little thief. And everyone laughed, including Mr. Patel. So the fact here, everyone has come here to steal from Krishna. As Bhadra and Ryan Maharaj said the other day, when people were criticizing that, oh, you're a Krishna is immoral. And Prabhupada shot back at the professor and said, no, you're immoral. Because you are living with Krishna's wife, Krishna's property. So you're the thief. So everyone has come here to steal from Krishna and enjoy Krishna's property, and therefore everyone is being punished with janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, and udarshanam. And there is no remedy, there is no solution, except to surrender to Krishna. The problem is, in the material world, is people think that there is some other solution other than to surrender to Krishna. And why do they have that idea? Andaya tandira pigiyamanas te pisha tandra urudami bara ete vidu swartakatim hi vishnu darashaya ye bharhir artamanina andaya tandira pigiyamanas te pisha tandra urudami bara. They don't know that the only shelter is Krishna. And therefore they take shelter of something insignificant. Even we have billions of dollars in the bank, it is not a shelter. Even we become a very strong body. Vitirna Krishne Paratakshatova Mito Bhipad Yeta Griha Vratana. So this word Griha means house, and Vrata means a vow. So everyone has taken a vow to live in this material world and take shelter of something here in the material world. A strong body, a nice family, a nice society, a nice nation, strong nation. Just like it mentions here, that people are thinking, I am American, I am English, I am Indian, I have strong nation, we are all together. My nation, in America, they say, this is my land, this is your land. But I can tell you, those people who are singing that song probably don't own any land. They're only an illusion. So we're so bewildered by the illusory energy in the modern age that we're actually thinking that we're Americans, we're Indians, we're black, we're white, whatever we're thinking. But as mentioned in this verse, even the birds are not so bewildered. If an American bird flies into India, the Indian birds do not stop the bird at the border and demand his passport and visa. Sorry, no passport, no visa, fly back to America. So even the birds are not in so much the bodily concept of life as people in the modern age. They're completely bewildered by these material conceptions, thinking that they'll give them shelter. But actually, no matter how much we expand our bodily conception of life, there is no shelter. It is simply punak punas charvata charvananam. And what is that ultimately? Birth, death, old age, and disease. Although Shukadeva Goswami says, Shodavyadi Dini Rajendra Srinam Shanti Sahasra Shaha, that in human society there's hundreds and thousands of questions. And Shukadeva Goswami says, Nidriya Riyate Naktam Vavayena Tavavaya. At night they're sleeping or having sex. During the day they're working or going shopping. And what is it all for? What is it all about? What does it all lead to? What is the big drama that's going on? Deha Patya Kalatradishu Atmana Sanyeshva Satsupi. Everyone is afraid of death, that I'm not going to be protected, that somehow or another there's a rumor that even good people die. So everyone is working hard to try to survive, but pashana pina pashiti, no one survives. No matter what the material circumstances are, everyone has to leave their body either today or tomorrow. When Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk, 1976, and he mentioned that this whole civilization, which is meant to keep people in darkness, is soon to come to an end with this next world war. And all the devotees were shocked. You mean we might have to die? But we're young, how can we die? And Prabhupada said, that war is coming very, very soon. Of course, apparently it didn't come. So we didn't die. So now we're going to live forever. So the devotees were very in anxiety. Prabhupada, what should we do? What should we do? Should we go to the farms? Should we do this and do that? Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. Either you die today or you die tomorrow. Eventually, in a very short period of time, everyone has to leave this body. There is no remedy. Except for Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvara Hari Shrotavyas Kirti Tavyas Cha Smartavyak Chehatavayam. The remedy is to hear about, to chant about, to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the only way of actually overcoming this fearful circumstances, this fearful situation that we're in. The scientists will not protect us. Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gacchanti amalayam, sheshastari chanti, kimascharya muktakparam. The most wonderful thing is that everyone is thinking other people have entered into the jaws of death, but I, staying behind, will not have to undergo this process of old age, disease, and death. And Prabhupada says they're so foolish that even these so-called learned people in modern society, they're giving people false assurances that actually they'll be able to protect them. But they themselves are growing old, becoming diseased and dying. Kalosmi Bharatara Shiva. They can't see that if the scientists had made any progress, as Badri Narayan Maharaj would always tell the story, and so would I, when Prabhupada was asked in England, why is in India where you come from, so many people are dying, challenging Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, wherever I go, I find that the death rate is about the same. It's 100%. With all the scientific advancement, they haven't been able to reduce the death rate even by a fraction of a percent. Not only that, they can't change even one atom from stopping its changing. They say that the atom has electrons circulating, so let them stop one electron from circulating. Then we'd be impressed. They can't even do that. And yet they're claiming in the future will stop people from growing old, becoming diseased, and dying. Prabhupada said they're so much proud that they're stopping disease. And at the same time, they're so proud that we're opening so many new hospitals. So if they're stopping disease, why are they opening so many new hospitals? Actually, their business is to get people sick, so they can open more hospitals and treat them and make more money. If everyone got well, the doctors would and the medical industry would be out of business, and that's not they don't want that. Therefore, the third cause of death in America is caused by the medicines that the doctor give you. If you can survive the medicine, then you would have survived the disease without the medicine. You're so strong. Of course, they may have some, we're not decrying allopathic medicine per se, because if you get run over by a truck, you're much more likely to survive in a hospital than you would in an Ayurvedic clinic. You just got run over by a truck and they're taking your pulse and the doctor says, seems like your vata is a little disturbed. Have you been flying airplanes? Oh, what happened? Oh, you got run over by a truck. That would do it also. But the point is that actually, old age, disease, and death, there's only one solution, and that is to get out of the material concept of life. Because actually the soul doesn't die, but because it's attached to the material body and the material conception of life, and especially attached to the idea that something will save him in the material world. Some material remedy is there. Therefore, instead of taking shelter of Krishna, one takes shelter of so many other material objects that prove to be false. And because of this attachment to these material objects, therefore one has to come back to take shelter of those objects again and again and again. Therefore, Tarka Apratishta Shutiya Vibhina. What is the subject matter? Everyone is talking about what will protect me or who will protect me. Nasavari Shiryasyana Bhinam. Or maybe they're speculating, so many big philosophers, what's the ultimate shelter? But Dharmasya Tatvam Nihitam Nihayam Mahajno Yena Gata Sapanta. So the truth of where the real shelter is found in the heart of the self-realized person. But if we don't take shelter of the self-realized person, such as Srila Prabhupada's instructions, and fully try to understand them and accept them in our lives, then we'll have to take shelter, at least partially, if not fully, of some other person in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, in the mode of goodness. And by taking shelter of such persons, taking shelter of such processes, we'll have to come back again and again, seeking shelter in newer and newer ways. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Naisham Matis Tavad Rukraman Grim, Sprishat Yanarto Bhagavan Nivarshat, Mahiya Samparuje Nishekam, Niskinchananam Na Nivriti Tadva. One should seek the shelter of one who has found the real shelter, namely Krishna, and has given up all other ideas of shelter. By taking shelter of such a person, then we can find real shelter. And if we don't take shelter of such a person, then everything is nirashaya, durashaya. It's a false shelter. Therefore, one who's taken shelter of Krishna, Sharanam, Nrisimha, or as King Kulakshetra prays, Krishna Twidiya Padapada Pankaja Panjaranta. Let my mind take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And even though I'm sound and healthy right now, still at the time of death, if I don't have Krishna's shelter fully, then when my throat gets choked up and my mind is disturbed, I may not be able to utter Hare Krishna. Therefore, now that I'm strong and my mind is healthy, let me take shelter of Krishna. Let me leave this body now and remember Krishna so I can take shelter of him and get Krishna's ultimate shelter. So we're thinking, now my body is strong and healthy, why do I have to take shelter of Krishna? When my body and my mind are weak and I can't enjoy the material world, then I'll take shelter of Krishna when I have no other opportunity. Sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't work. As I said the other day in class, I think it was in Mayapur, one Madhaji, her mother, wasn't a devotee of Krishna, but at the end of life, when she was just about to leave her body, she asked her daughter, "Where is your Krishna?" and then left. But another mother, when she was about to leave her body, and her daughter was going, "Chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna," and she said, "I cannot say so many words." and then left her body. Therefore, we have to somehow or another chant Hare Krishna with actually the feeling of taking shelter of Krishna. Taking shelter of Krishna so that we actually feel there's no other shelter. Just like Ajamil was chanting in great anxiety the name of Narayan. And therefore he remembered Narayan, the real Narayan, according to the commentators, and he got shelter. But those who don't feel they have shelter, their only shelter of Krishna, Janmaishvarya Shruti Shri Bir, Edamanak Madakpumban, Naivahatyavadatum Vai, Twama Kinshana Gochara. Those who are actually thinking that I can make progress in the material world and find shelter through wealth, personal influence, beauty, through material education. Therefore, as Sri Prabhupada said, we're already intoxicated by the material concept of life. But when we think we can get shelter by increasing our material opulences, our material shelters, then the result is we become mad. And a madman cannot chant Hare Krishna with actual feeling that Krishna is my only shelter. As Prabhupada mentions here, unfortunately in modern society, people are so ungrateful, they won't even give shelter to their children. They won't give shelter to anyone. Because of the modern education, people are actually believing that science will give them shelter, science will protect them from death, science will allow them to eat anything, to sleep as much as they want, to have as much sex as they want, and kill their children if necessary. Science will protect them from death. Science is our mother. Science is our father. Science is everything. But it's a false shelter. And therefore, all these plants, maybe not here, but in other places in the world, the animals, the flies, they all had a human form of life at one time. They were all thinking science would give them shelter. And science gave them a fly body. By taking shelter of science, they got a fly body, or a plant body, or an insect body. They got so many bodies by taking shelter of so-called Maya Pritigyanas, or Maya Pritigyanas. So if we don't become convinced that Krishna is our only shelter and we actually believe we're going to make progress by getting money or prestige or wealth or material education or material influence or somehow or another taking shelter of the material energy, it'll be dharashaya. It'll be a false shelter, and the result is we'll simply punak punas charvita charvananam. Have to chew over and over again. So, thank you. I'll stop here. Any questions? Maharaj.
I do have a question. First, just to add to your repertoire of ironic twists of fate. They had an earthquake in LA a couple of years ago. There was an apartment building that collapsed. When it collapsed, all the gas pipes broke and it burst into flames. There was a man who was on the fourth floor, survived the collapse of the building and the building bursting in flames. It was nighttime. Went outside, he was looking at the building collapsed and on flames, standing in the street, because everything was at nighttime, thinking, man, am I lucky. And the fire truck coming to put out the fire hit him and killed him. So, my question is, just surrender to Krishna. Whoever Krishna wants to kill, no one can save. Whoever Krishna wants to save, no one can kill. That's your theme. Okay. Then why do devotees wear seatbelts? Why do devotees go to doctors? Why, why even work? Just Krishna will take care of it.
Well, you know that story, that famous story, the man who was by the dam, and the dam was about to break, so the emergency crew came to evacuate the city. Everyone left, and he was a fanatic follower of Lord Jesus, and he said, "You're all the devil, you have no faith, Jesus will save me." So the dam broke, the water started to flood the city, the man climbed up to the top of his house. Oh, actually, they came with the boat and said, "Get in the boat, we'll save you." He said, "No, no, you're all the devil, you have no faith, Jesus will save me." The water kept on increasing, came up to the top of the house, he climbed up onto the roof, they sent a helicopter, "Grab hold of the rope, we'll save you." "No, no, you're all the devil, Jesus will save me." The water rose, the man over the roof, the man drowned, went to heaven. There Jesus came and met him, and they embraced and said, "Oh, so nice you've come." But the man said, "Jesus, so nice to be here, but I have one doubt, that I had faith in you, that you would save me." So Jesus said, "Well, I sent you the warning that the dam would break. I sent you the boat. I sent you the helicopter, but you didn't take advantage of it. So what can I do? I tried to save you, but you didn't take advantage of it." So these things, it's true, we're going to have to die today or tomorrow, but Krishna is giving us so many opportunities to live another day so that we can perform devotional service and make progress towards ending old age, disease, and death. So Krishna is giving us a seatbelt. He's giving us the medicine. He's giving us so many things because he says he's the healing herb in the Bhagavad Gita. In order to protect this body so we can utilize it in his service. He told Sanatana Goswami, when Sanatana Goswami wanted to commit suicide, "Actually, you have no right to commit suicide because that body belongs to me. And therefore, I want to utilize it in so many ways for my service. Therefore, we have no right." So this body belongs to Krishna, and so we have to try to protect it in so many ways so it can be used as an instrument in Krishna's service. After all, that's what Krishna told Arjuna. Everyone's going to die, but tasma tvamitishya sholavasva jitva shatrambukshva rajan sarmidam mayayavata niyatam purvameva nimitra matram vavasavasachin. Get up! Prepare to fight. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They're put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. So Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight for him. So to fight for him means we need a material body to serve him. Yes. Well, we should think the bank balance belongs to Krishna, that's all. And we should utilize it for Krishna's service. It's not quite... Just like if you go to the Bank of America and you declare that, "My dear people who work in the Bank of America, that I just renounce all the money here in the bank." So people will think you're crazy. It never belonged to you in the first place. How can you renounce something that doesn't belong to you? So everything here belongs to Krishna. So, "Our dear, my bank balance, I'm going to utilize it for Krishna." Actually, it's not our bank balance. It belongs to Krishna already. And when we go to the holy place, we go to the pilgrimage, then we're properly utilizing Krishna's service. That's why Krishna gave us that money, to utilize it in his service. Yes. Well, intelligence comes first. By our intelligence, buddhi, then we can act in such a way as to please Krishna. Tesham sadatam yukdanam bhajantam priti purvakam tadami buddhiyogam tam yena mamupyanti te. So, before that, before Krishna gives us such intelligence that we actually understand how to come to him, first we get the intelligence, machchita, machkata, prana, bodhiyantash, parashparam, katayantas, pramam nityam, tushanti, cha, ramanti, cha. First is hearing. By hearing from those who actually have knowledge and faith, then we can acquire at least theoretical knowledge of how to perform devotional service with consistency and faith and enthusiasm and love. So by hearing from them, we get that theoretical knowledge, and then when we apply it within our lives, then Krishna gives us more and more realization by which we can come to him. So first some knowledge, hearing from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and then when we apply it, then the actual realizations come and real faith is there. Yeah.
Can you say, should I understand that the faith will manifest in the devi, my heart is purified by the process of devotion?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, everyone probably writes in the Sadvan Rupa Sarvasha Shara Bhavati Bharata Sharo Yo 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 Purusho Yo Yaschara Sevasaha, 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse number 3. According to the modes of nature we're situated on, we have a particular type of faith. So everyone has faith. And according to how we utilize that faith, according to how we act, naturally we'll develop another faith, another experience. And that will give us another faith. So everyone has faith, but real faith is established in the mode of goodness. Everything else is artificial faith. Only when we actually come to Krishna consciousness is our faith become real, because it's based upon reality. Everyone else's faith is just based upon illusion. And what is that illusion? They believe that something other than Krishna is going to protect them. So such faith is illusory. The only real faith is only Krishna can protect me. Only Krishna can maintain me. My only real interest is in Krishna. Everything else is false. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.